Chapter number 4 this morning. Go to the book of Acts, chapter number 4 this morning. There's a verse of scripture here that should be one of your favorites, I hope. But I like what he says here in Acts chapter number 4 this morning. By way of introduction to those that are visiting with us today, we appreciate you visiting. But this is your warning. I am a Southern person. I am Baptist. I am not Southern Baptist, but I do move and I do get loud. And I just want you to know that because it does scare some people. And so I'm not here to scare you. It's just the way that God called me to preach. Acts chapter number 4 this morning. Acts chapter 4 verse number 1, he says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they lay hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name do ye this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Father, help us this morning as we preach your word, God. There is no other name given among men, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than by the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and soon coming King. Help us this morning. May that one that's nearest hell come to the place of repentance and the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. I beg you, help us this morning. We are assembled together in the name of Jesus. I pray that you would be in the midst. Draw sinners in. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That verse 13 right there is one that really stands out to me. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Listen, when you find somebody that's truly been along with Jesus, when you find somebody that's not afraid to speak his word or to say his name, hey, it'll make a difference in your life. It made a difference in my life 21 years ago as an 18-year-old young man, a young boy, when God saved my life, when I met a family that truly loved God, that truly was sold out for God. Hey, that's what we need in our day and time. If we're going to make a difference to a lost and dying world, we need some people that may seem ignorant and unlearned to most, but that people can take knowledge that they've been with Jesus. The book of Romans tells us that if those that are really saved, they'll not be ashamed of who he is. They'll not be ashamed of who Jesus is. I'm not ashamed of him. I'm not ashamed of the things that I stand for. I'm not ashamed of my Lord and Savior. Listen, he's done too much for me. He's done too much for my life. Listen, we ain't always been in church, most of you know. We were raised Methodist growing up till I was probably about 5 or 6 years old. Somewhere in there, we stopped going to church. If you'd have asked me if I was a Christian, sure I am. Of course, I didn't know what that really meant. When I was a teenager, I rode the church bus to Gospelite Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina. I heard a man preach just like the way I'm preaching this morning. I thought, that man is crazy. Something wrong with him. That's right, he's crazy for Jesus. You know, come this week, and then 2 weeks from now, people will be hollering and screaming at their television to a bunch of people that can't even hear them because of a football game. There'll be a bunch of people get mad. There was one popped up on my YouTube feed, a little short video of a Dallas Cowboy fan that after they lost went over and kicked a big hole in his door. You know what? And they get excited about a football game that 20 years from now, 99% of people are not going to remember who won this year's football game unless you happen to be a fan. I can't tell you who won of course they didn't have NCAA basketball tournament, men's basketball tournament last year because they didn't finish it. But I can tell you most of the years that Duke won, because I was a Duke fan for many years, but I just kind of cut sports off now. But I still like watch it from time to time, and I'm not against it. But people will scream and shout. They'll go out people will scream and shout at the football game. They'll scream and shout at the referees. We got people in our day and time that'll go to a Little League game and they'll be wanting to fight over a Little League game. But you got a bunch of people in our day and time that are Christians that won't fight for Jesus. They won't stand up for what Jesus stood up for. They won't take the stands that Jesus took. They'll go on with every new thing and every little thing that the world goes along with. They'll take the world's dress. They'll take the world's standards. They'll live like the world, shack up like the world, and still claim that they're Christians. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says, man, they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They saw that Peter and John, hey, we need some Christians. We need some people that aren't afraid. Well, we got people in our day and time that are afraid to be martyrs. I told you, I need to get some copies of that Martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs. Next time I order some books. If anybody don't have a copy, we've got some. We still got some copies of those, The Price of a Coconut. If you didn't happen to get one, let me know after church and we'll give you one of those copies. But I need to get some copies of the Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you've never read that book, you ought to read that book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. You can download it free on computer. I can show you where to download it for free at. But Fox's Book of Martyrs tells some people that weren't afraid to take a stand for Jesus. They weren't afraid to take a stand for the cause of Christ. This morning I'm preaching about there is no other name. Hey, there's no other name that you need to take. You have to take a stand for. There's no other name that you can be saved by but by the name of Jesus Christ. It's not through the preacher this morning. It's not through La Crosse Independent Baptist Church. It's not through the Pope or any other leader. It's not through the White House. It's through Jesus Christ. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved this morning. It's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. If you've never come by the way of Jesus Christ, you're not saved this morning. It's not by Muhammad. It's not by Confucius. It's not by John Smith or any of these others. It's not by religion. It's not because you're a Baptist, a Catholic, a Methodist. It's because somewhere, at some point in your life, as Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he must be born again. There's a day and a time when God changed your life, when you met him on an old-fashioned altar somewhere, and you repented of your sins, and you acknowledged who Jesus really was. Neither is there salvation in any other. Three things from this scripture this morning. There is none other name. And three things. Number one, be it known to you the name. This name is a powerful name. This name is the name that every knee shall bow. Go with us to Philippians chapter 2 real quick. Philippians chapter 2. I want to go move fast this morning. I got several verses of scripture I want to look at. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse number 5. Amen? Amen. Philippians 2, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God," that means He's God. He was in the form of God. "Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Wherefore? Because he was willing to do that. Because he was willing to die on Calvary's cross for my sins and for your sins and for the sins of the whole world. God didn't just come to this earth in the form of a man. He didn't just come here just to come and die for a chosen few. The Bible says that he died for the sins of the whole world. He says he was, "Wherefore, because he did that, the Father, God, hath also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name." That name of Jesus is above every name. And he says here in verse 10, "that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things in the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Hey, you'll either do it in this life, you'll bow your knees before God and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, or you'll do it one day at that great white throne of judgment before you're cast into the lake of fire. He said every knee should bow. Every tongue should confess. They will. Every tongue, every knee will bow at some point in this world, whether it's in this life or in the life ever after. Listen, we always used to say it like this. Listen, you can either, if you've been born once, you'll die twice. But if you've been born twice, you only have to die once. What does that mean, preacher? Every one of us in here has got at least one birth. We wouldn't be here without it. So either you must be born again. That means you only have to face death one time. And I like what Paul says, "Oh, death, where is thy sting?" Hey, death means nothing to me. You can't threaten me with death. I'm not afraid of death. I don't fear death. My biggest fear is that I'll fail and not serve God the way I should. That I'll fall from the grace. I can't lose my salvation, but I can fall from the grace that God's given me and not do what God's called me to do. You'll be born once. You'll die twice. You'll die on this earth, and then you'll die an eternal death in the lake of fire one day. I still believe it. I believe every word of that King James Bible. I believe every word that God said. And God said that the smoke of their torment will ascend up forever and forever. You'll die an eternal death in the lake of fire. Hell is not eternal as in the place that people will stay forever. A lot of people, hell's eternal. No, the Bible says death and hell will give up the dead that are in them, and they'll stand before the great white throne of judgment to be judged. Not good versus evil. Not good versus bad. Whether you can measure up to make it to heaven. If you aren't saved by Jesus, by the grace of God, through Jesus Christ, you'll not make it into heaven. You'll be judged to determine how hot the lake of fire will be for you. How hot the lake of fire will be for you. And then you'll be cast. The Bible says bound hand and foot and cast into that lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. Hey, I know it's a scary thought. The sad part is, Jesus said more people are dying going to hell than dying going to heaven. He said many that go in thereat, in Matthew chapter number 7, when he's talking about hell and the lake of fire, he said, when he talks about heaven, he said, "Few there be that find it," because most people have been deceived by religion. Most people are deceived by their own good works. Hey, he says that every tongue, and that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and that every tongue should confess. Hey, why don't you want to do it in this world? I'm having the time of my life, man. I've been saved for 21 years. There is nothing in this. After 21 years of salvation, I can attest, and my wife can too, there is nothing in this world
worth going to hell for. There's no man, woman, or child. There's no sin, drugs, and none of that stuff is worth going to hell for. But people are dying going to hell all around us. Hey, the religious people go to the same hell that the drug addicts go to. We're seeing whether what a lot of other stuff going on in America, I don't know. But there's one thing that's been confirmed: the amount of death, overdose deaths in America right now among people my age and below is astronomical. It is crazy when you look at the deaths of people that are killing themselves with drugs right now. They get hooked on it. They can't get off. Hey, that's where we're supposed to be at. So those are the people that we're supposed to be going to. A lot of you already know, my wife was hooked on all those things. My wife's done all that mess. My wife's done meth and been hooked on that mess. 22 years old. I met my wife at 22 years old. She was a drug addict. She was a drunk. She's done almost everything the world has to offer, drinking and drug-wise. And she looked at me and she said, "I want what you've done. There's something different about you." She came to church with me. She didn't need AA or a tryout clinic. She met the Lord Jesus Christ in November of 2004, 4 years after I got saved. My wife got saved. God changed her life. Hey, her family looked at her and said, "We didn't want you doing this." They wanted her to clean up because she was bringing shame to the family name, but they didn't want her to go this far. Ain't that sad that people think like that? That's how people think. They want you to do better because you're bringing shame to the family name, but they don't want you to do better than they're doing. That's what a lot of people think. Hey, we're not better than they are. We're just saved. I'm just a sinner just like everybody else. I make mistakes, have problems. I got four of them I know of, at least right now. Four little girls, man. I'm just saved. Hey, as Paul talked about, man, he said, "I didn't do anything anybody else." I'm paraphrasing. I can look up the scripture, but I'm paraphrasing. Paul said, "I didn't do anything that anybody else couldn't do." He said, "I just labored more abundantly in the grace of God." I believe God can still do it in our day and time with people that are willing to sell out to God like Paul did. God can still use them. God can still send somebody to Albania. God can still send people to Panama. Hey man, what a testimony. This missionary coming in later this next month, in the end of the February 20th, that he is a third generation missionary. That his grandparents were missionaries to Mexico. I mean, I can't wait to hear his testimony about this and all. He's told me his testimony about when he got saved and everything, but I can't wait to hear how I want to hear about his grandparents. I don't want to put off on him, but I mean, you know, because I look at my children and I'm hopeful and praying that God will use my four daughters. I want them to be first and foremost to be saved. Hey, preacher's daughters have to be saved the same way everybody else's, by the same blood and sacrifice that everybody else had to be saved by. They had to be saved. Be it known, the name of Jesus. Go over to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy real quick, just a few books over from Philippians. Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 19. Second Timothy 2:19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Not only is there salvation in that name, but hey, there's an ability to depart from iniquity, to get out of sin. I love that seal. I did a study on that years ago. I wish I could find my sermon. I guess I have to just rewrite it again. But I was doing a study on the seal there. The Bible talks about the book of Ephesians that we are sealed with the Holy Ghost until the day of our redemption. We are sealed. That's what that's talking about there. That seal is like the seal of what they used to do. Y'all would see in the movies when the king would melt some wax and he'd take his insignia and he'd mark that seal, and the only person that could break that seal was who it was written for. Hey, that's what that means when it's talking about that we are sealed until the day of redemption. The seal that God has put on us, the seal of God standeth sure, and the only one that can open that seal is the one that bought us, the one that redeemed us, which is God Himself. And that at the day when we die, or when God calls us out of this world,
by way of the grave or way of the rapture one day. Hey, He's the one that is opening, that will open that seal, and then He'll give us a new body and a new, amen. I'm telling you, He's making us anew. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So there's no other name. Be it known, the name of Jesus is for salvation. The name of Jesus also helps us deal with our iniquity. Number two, it's a necessity. Go back to Acts chapter number 4. I said to hold your place there in case you want to go back and forth. But I'm going to go back to Hebrews here in a second. Acts chapter number 4, he said, verse 10, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, so we see it, there's no other name, so we need to be it known by the name. Number 2, be it known by the necessity whom ye crucified. You know, it was necessary that he had to be crucified. Hebrews chapter number 9, real quick. I got a couple, I want to read several verses here in Hebrews chapter number 9. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 9. It was a necessity. Christ had to die for our sins. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, not of that Old Testament tabernacle. There, listen, the Bible tells us that that Moses built that tabernacle according to the tabernacle that's in heaven. We'll read that just, I might read this here, but I can show you where it talks about it. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. You know, we've got people that deny the blood of Jesus Christ in our day and time. We've got people that deny the blood of Christ. The Bible says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Once. Christ doesn't need to suffer. This is why we don't listen. I want you to understand. This is why we do communion, the Lord's Supper. We do not believe, as the Catholics do, that believe that every time that they're partaking of Mass, partaking of communion, that they're actually doing crucifying Christ afresh. When you research that, you find out that's what they believe, that every time that they're doing that, that wine, which I don't believe in, but I won't run that rabbit this morning. That wine and that bread, they believe it becomes the literal blood, body and blood of Jesus Christ in the inside of you when you're chewing it up. I can show you by their beliefs in their books that they believe that. The Bible says he entered in once. He does not ever have to be crucified again. We talked about this. This is why when you read the Old Testament, when Moses smote the rock the second time after God told him to speak to the rock, Moses could not enter into the promised land because he brought Christ to open shame. The Bible says that that rock is a picture of Christ in the Old Testament. So when Moses was to smite the rock the first time, that's a picture of his crucifixion. When Christ was crucified on Calvary's cross. But after that, when they were to need water, when you're to need living water, when you're saved and you need to get things right and clean up out of your life, Christ does not have to be crucified again. All you have to do is speak to the rock. That means you confess your sins, the Bible says in 1 John. Confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When Moses smote the rock the second time, he brought Christ. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, maybe chapter 4, I don't have it this morning, but if you were to do that, the Bible says if you could get saved again, you would put Christ to open shame because you're saying that the sacrifice on Calvary's cross was not enough for one time. That's what Hebrews is about. Hebrews was dealing with that with the Hebrew. Hebrews was written to the Hebrews. But it's because they were the ones having problems with that. But we have people in our day that have problems with this. They don't understand. Christ has entered in once. He says, let me go on here now. He says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifying to the purifying of the flesh, of how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testimony is, there also there must also of necessity be the death of the tester. It was a necessity for Christ to die. For a testimony is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is no more strength at all while the tester liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament, which was dedicated without blood, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testimony which God hath endured unto you." Talking about the Old Testament law. Now he says, Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, is no remission. The Bible says almost all things. Those of us that know the Bible, there is one sin that cannot be forgiven by the blood. There is one sin that cannot be forgiven in this life nor in the life to come. That's why it says almost all things are by the law purged with blood. The only sin that cannot be forgiven by the blood, the blood of Calvary. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's true. But the sin of blaspheme of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, you cannot be forgiven in this life nor in the world to come. You cannot be forgiven of blaspheme of the Holy Ghost. Listen, you can be forgiven if you've been saved and you were to commit suicide. You can be forgiven. You are forgiven. Unfortunately, you'll enter into the next world, into heaven with that on you. But it is not something that you cannot be forgiven of. The man that we got saved under, my wife and I got saved under. The man from Michigan, my wife and I got saved. God sent a man from Michigan to North Carolina that my wife and I got saved under. That man that we love dearly. And we know where he's at. He's still in church serving God. But that man, his dad committed suicide. And Mike believes that his dad was a saved man. These people that teach that suicide is the ultimate sin has not read the Bible. The Bible says that the only sin that cannot be forgiven is blaspheme of the Holy Ghost. That's the only sin. And I'm already deep into this. You can go look it up. But our pastor that we got saved under, his dad committed suicide. His dad got on some kind of antidepressant because he got down and ended up taking his own life, walked into a barn with a shotgun and blew himself. Hey, it can happen. Even Christians can get down. That's why we assemble together. That's why the devil had such a field day the last 2 years, because churches weren't assembling themselves together. People said, we can have church online. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is, but so much more as you see the day approaching. Hey, he says, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves when the book of Hebrews was written as the manner of some was. So in the time when Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, they were having trouble with people not coming together. He says, but it's so much more as you see the day approaching. So as you see the return of Christ approaching, you're to have church even more. I like it myself. Let me move on. I got to hurry up. Verse 23. Now it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice. So Moses designed the tabernacle after what God showed him, revealed to him in heaven. But that tabernacle in heaven had to be purified with a better blood. It could not be by the blood of goats. That's what this book is talking about. That's what this chapter is talking about. The blood of goats and cows, they could not. They had to be purified by, he says, with better sacrifices than these. Therefore, verse 24, Christ is not entered into a holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he have often have suffered since the foundation of the world. If Christ one time was not enough, then the Bible says he would have had to begin since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It was a necessary thing. That's what his crucifixion. Hey, God knew before he ever breathed into Adam the breath of life, he knew that he would die on Calvary's cross exactly when he would do it. That's what the Bible says. You can go look in the book of Peter. Peter says that Jesus is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of this world. Before the foundation was ever laid, God knew that he would die on Calvary's cross. It was a necessity. He had to. Number three, be it known. It was the name. Be it known, the necessity. Be it known that it was naught. Go back over here. I got to go quickly here. Acts chapter number 4 real quick. Acts chapter number 4, he says, verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head to corner. That naught, be it known, the naught, which it means something bad, worthless, of no value or account. They accounted Christ as nothing. He was meaningless and worthless to them. Go to Psalm 118 real quick. I got to get through these real quick and I'll be done. Psalm 118 says, in verses number 21, Psalm 118, I slipped there 1, 2, 4. Psalm 118, verse 21, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I like that verse. Go over to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28 verse 16 says, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious corner, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Go over to Matthew chapter 21 real quick. Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. Matthew 21, verse 42 says, Jesus saith unto them, Did ye ever read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and be given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. That means if you fall on the Lord Jesus, fall on an altar, he'll break you. He'll forgive you your sins. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. One more, Romans chapter number 9. You'll bow before him one day, here or there. Romans chapter number 9. This Romans chapter number 9, verse number 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not obtained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. See, the law of God cannot save you. Paul told them, Paul wrote in the New Testament repeatedly, Paul told them, the law, there is no flesh that shall be justified by the works of the law. You're not justified by the works of the law. The law is to show you, and we're going through it on Sunday school. If you want to see what the law is, come on Sunday school, 9:45. We are going through the law right now, slowly, seeing what God's accounted for, but to show you what it takes to complete the works of the law. You can't do it. When you look at the law and you read the law, you realize, I can't do this. That's exactly right. The law is to bring you to the pride, to the place where you realize, hey, I can't do this. Therefore, I need Christ. Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no other name that'll get you into heaven. Be it known, neither is there salvation in any other. Neither means nothing else. No other way, chance, choice, or means will get you into heaven than by Jesus Christ. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't be baptized into heaven. You can't join the church and get into heaven. You must come through Jesus Christ and Him alone. The Bible says in the book of Luke, Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except you turn from your sins at some time in your life and accepted Jesus Christ. There is nothing that I can add to it. Baptism does not add to your salvation. Church membership does not add to your salvation. Church attendance does not add to your salvation. Salvation is fully by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Being raised in a preacher's home does not get you into heaven. Being raised in a drunkard's home does not get you into heaven. There must be a day and a time when you knelt on an altar and you acknowledged that you're a sinner. And call on the name of the Lord. Let's all stand. My Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the day that you've made. And I thank you that there's no other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. God, you've made it simple. It's simple. It's just believing on Jesus. And that's it. Lord, save that sinner that's nearest hell this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open if you need to do business with God.